Good.
Which is a good thing. So it's 3:08. It is time for the Jeremy Lawrence Show here at 590 WKZO. And I welcome you in the next couple hours. We're just going to get together and chat about some stuff. And there is a lot to chat about. Now, let me tell you just some of what you could look forward to. Coming up a little bit later on, there is a report that has come out about what they're calling Alice. And it has to do with earning and supporting oneself in the state of Michigan. We're going to be talking to the president of the Michigan Association of United Ways. That's coming up a little bit later on in the program. We'll talk about the report, what it means, what it doesn't mean, that kind of thing. So that's coming up for you. Also, here in just a couple of minutes, going to be talking about the role of the Tea Party and the role of independents in the upcoming election in the state of Michigan. We'll kind of flip through that a little bit, and many other things as well. Terry Lindland getting support and getting, at the very least, attention in a very different way now in the media. And we'll talk about that as we continue ahead here with the program. Of course, if you would like to be a part of the program for the next couple of hours, here's how you get to do it. You give us a call at 877-382-4280. That's the toll-free number. And, of course, locally it's 382-4280. 80373 if you would like to text us to be a part of the program that way. And, of course, when you text us, all the appropriate texts, hey, we share them with you because, you know, that's what we do. Inappropriate texts, well, we just have a lot of fun with them. And if they're very unusual and derogatory texts, well, we put them on the wall and throw darts. So, you know, at least we've got a lot of different things that we do with these things. Of course, you could be a part of the program by that or by giving us a call. When you talk to us today, you're going to be talking with the illustrious and incomparable Michael Loudon today. Say hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Boy, you're on top of things today.
I am.
So, anyway, all of that headed your way today, so do keep it here and stick with us. Now, a couple of things to point out to you on the website. In the blog section at WKZO.com, a couple of things. First of all, the video of the day, Honest Trailers. Do I need to say more? You're headed for the website now. But they go back to the 80s for their latest inspiration, and their latest inspiration for an Honest Trailer, the movie to get the treatment, and I think it earned it, even being a classic, Ghostbusters.
It was great.
So it was an enjoyable one, and I figured let's go ahead and share that with you. So that is today's video of the day, blog post of the day. You know, it seems like lately, and I say lately, and when I mean lately, I mean just in the last year or two, that people are just standing ready to be offended at anything. Anything and everything. They're just waiting to be offended at. Well, the latest is they're offended at something that happened at the Emmy Awards. And it has to do with Robin Williams. Now, I do a little piece on that. I want you to check it out for yourself. And, of course, share your thoughts and insights on that. You can find the link for it at WKZO.com. Of course, all this stuff, we eventually get it up on our Facebook page because, you know what, we like you so much. And we want you to like us right back. So please do so. Click on the link. It's a little F up at the top of the page. No, that's not our grade. Stop asking. Just click on that little F, F for Facebook, and that'll take you right to our page. You can like us and be a part of all the conversations and all the fun that we have on Facebook. Because, you know, we keep up with these videos. We keep up with a lot of different news items and that sort of thing. And when I share one of these blogs, I want to hear your side of it as well. Because, you know, why just let me have all the fun? You know, yeah, granted, okay, they let me have all the fun for 2 hours on a little show I host. But other than that, why let me have all the fun? And quite frankly, why let me have all the fun here? I'd like to hear from you. So share your opinions that way. Definitely share your opinions as we talk today. We would love to hear from you. Now, over the weekend, we talked about this on Monday. There was the convention for the Republican and Democratic parties. The Democrats basically had a rally. The Republicans had a few important things to get figured out. Trustee seats for the boards for U of M and MSU. Also, who is going to be Rick Snyder's running mate? And they figured it out. Gee, it's going to be the guy that's been his lieutenant governor for the last 4 years. Imagine. But there was a challenge by Wes Nakagiri. And one of the things that was pointed out by Mr. Nakagiri after the convention, you know, he talked a little bit about it, says, you know what? Tea Party support, it's not a given for the incumbent governor and for his running mate. He says they still have some work to do to earn people's votes from the conservative side of the ledger. That's something that he told the Detroit Free Press. Now, yeah, Cali won. It was unanimous. Anyway, that's how they made it unanimous. But before that, in the unofficial counts, Cali won nearly 65% of the delegate votes before Nakagiri stepped aside and said, all right, this is the guy we want right here. So, yeah, there was definite support for Brian Cali there. But what one thing that Wes Nakagiri brings up is that, you know what? Conservatives have questions. There are Tea Party people that are saying, you know what? I might just stay home. I might not just not vote in this particular race. Others are saying, well, all right. You need to show me a little something. You need to show me what you're planning here in the next few years. And particularly for those on the far right, there tends to be less of a sense of let's compromise. Let's compromise to get where we're going. Instead, it's more of let's be ideologically pure. I think it's fair to say that just based on dealings I've had in the past with people who are claiming the Tea Party link or, you know, that name. I'd talked to a former congressman who was a member of the Tea Party coalition there. And, you know, he was definitely very ideologically pure. Very driven by his beliefs and ideals. Not necessarily driven by the idea of, all right, we can compromise a little on this. I'll give you this if you give me that. There isn't that sense there. So you understand that there's going to be, I mean, it's a tough road to hoe, really. If you're talking about the governor trying to convince some people that are a little upset with him over certain things that he had done. So you can imagine that as Governor Snyder is scheduling something on Friday, he probably didn't think too much about it. It's a gathering of the Islamic Society of North America. This is the largest gathering of American Muslims in the country. The keynote address at this particular get-together will be by former President Jimmy Carter. However, they also invited Rick Snyder, governor of the state of Michigan, to speak at this to give things, you know, kind of kick it off a little bit. And he's doing so with the idea, you know, it's in Detroit. I'm coming out to kind of, okay, well, this is the state of Michigan. This is, you know, you've come here. Thank you. Thank you for coming here. Welcome. We're glad to have you. You would expect that out of any state leader, I would think, to be able to come out and say, hey, we're glad to have you. Welcome. Well, there's been an awful lot of conservatives that have come along and said that the governor shouldn't do that, making several allegations against the group, the Islamic Society of North America, claiming that they are hooked up with the Muslim Brotherhood, which the organization is coming out and saying, no, that's not true. There are others saying, well, they have connections to terrorist financing. They're also saying, well, no, that's not true either. And honestly, this group, the ISNA, is based out of Indiana. So it's not necessarily based out of you know, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Iran, or anything else. You know, you're not seeing that. But you are seeing, and what they're saying is we represent mainstream Islam, not the Muslim extremists that you see in ISIS and other groups. Still, there are conservatives that are just saying, all right, Snyder should not be doing this. So, yeah, and there's actually some that are calling on Brian Kelly to say, all right, come on, time for you to step up and say a little something about this. What's going on? They want to see him come up and say, all right, Governor, come on, what are you doing? Which, is he going to do that? He's the Lieutenant Governor. Of course not. You know, but it's interesting to see that brought up. Now, the other part about this, Tim Skubick in a piece on MLive talks about the role that independents are going to play in the governor's election this year. And I find it interesting, talking about a recent poll Epic MRA did, saying that 88% of Republican voters have locked in with Rick Snyder, 81% have locked in with Mark Schauer. They're saying that basically what it means, given that kind of support, is the independents will have it rather than the Tea Party. Now, the Tea Party would say, all right, well, you know what? We do have a lot of conservatives that are going to vote. But how many conservatives are going to say, you know what? Let's support Mark Schauer. There might be some that do it. But there might be an awful lot of others that would say, well, wait a minute. Okay. We like right to work, and Mark Schauer has already promised to repeal that. So I don't know that you necessarily see a ton of conservatives going his way. I mean, there will be a few, in as much as there will be a few liberals that cross over and say, yeah, we like that Snyder guy. So, you know, I think, gosh, what does it really mean there? But independents, in this particular poll, they said that in the last survey from Epic MRA, the governor got 38% of independents. Mark Schauer got 31%. And there's 31% that aren't sure at this point. Just like any other election, what Tim Skubick is claiming, and I tend to agree with him on this one, the independents have it. Inasmuch as just about every election, you've got a certain number that are going to vote for a Republican, even if he is the worst possible candidate in the world, and 40% that will do the same for a Democrat, regardless of who they are. So then you end up with independents deciding the election one way or another. It happens in pretty much every election. This one, they're saying, no different. And the funny thing about this, and he lays this out, and I thought it was interesting to say, you know, if the Tea Party hedging a little bit on the governor, there might be independents that say, well, wait a minute, the Tea Party doesn't like him. Maybe he's doing something right here. Maybe we ought to vote for him because the Tea Party doesn't like him. So could it be that he picks up as much or more support from independents as what he would lose from the Tea Party? And I'm still not convinced the Tea Party is going to go, no. Because I think there's an awful lot of people on that side that understand if you don't vote in this at all, that's essentially voting for the one you don't want. It shapes up to be that kind of thing. So what is it going to be really? I mean, do you feel like that the Tea Party has enough say in the state of Michigan that they'll be able to impact Rick Snyder's chances? I mean, he's got a lead in the polls right now, but that's right now. The election's really going to shape up after Labor Day and beyond, right up through Election Day. So what do you think about it? I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Does the Tea Party really have enough impact to be able to make a winner or loser out of Rick Snyder? And in turn, are there enough independents that don't like the Tea Party that are going to go, wait a minute, the Tea Party doesn't like this guy, maybe we should? You know, a lot of people are predicting the way this election is going to roll anyway. And I don't know. It's hard to see. But I think the other part of it is that Rick Snyder really has not started campaigning, even now. Yeah, he's campaigning a little bit, But even now, he's still all about the business of governing. Well, that changes after Labor Day. I think, you know, there's a big media buy plan. There's an awful lot of things going on there. So, do you see that making a difference as well? I do. I think if the governor gets out and starts campaigning and reminding people, hey, I'm Governor Snyder, remember me, you voted for me 4 years ago. Well, in that 4 years' time, we've done this, 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 and that. People might be tempted to go, oh, yeah, him. Okay. I'm set. I'm solid. And by the same token, I mean, Mark Schauer's gotten out there, and he has gotten out there and gotten the word out about his campaign. And he's gotten the word out about where he stands on issues. And, you know, he continues to be out there. So he's doing a little better than what he did when he started. But is that going to be enough once the governor starts campaigning? It'll be interesting to see. I want to get your thoughts on this, though. Do you think the Tea Party will have as big of an impact as they seem to think they will? Give us a call. Tell us. 877-382-4280. Locally, it's 382-4280. Or you can text us, 80373, and tell us what you think that way. Maybe you're a member of the Tea Party, and you hear this and go, really? No, I was planning on voting for him. Or maybe you heard this and go, really? No, I don't intend on voting in this election. I'm disgusted with both sides. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to hear your angle on this. Because I think there is a lot of different ways you can look at this race. I tend to think it's the independents that will have it. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe the Tea Party will have it after all. I don't know. It'll be interesting to find out. But give us a call. Tell us what you think. 877-382-4280. 382-4280 locally as we continue with the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Seventy-nine degrees in Kalamazoo, and this weather update brought to you by the Cancer Control Coalition of Southwest Michigan. Jeremy Lawrence here with you as we continue ahead. 590 WKZO. It's 3:28. You know, I mean, reading the tea leaves of this election, there's an awful lot of people that are still looking at this and going, all right, it's Rick Snyder's election to lose. Really. I don't know that I necessarily believe it. I believed it maybe a couple of months ago. But Mark Schauer has made it a little bit closer. I think just by getting out there and talking, he's gotten it a little bit closer. But it'll be interesting to see what happens once the campaign gets underway, gets cranking and that kind of thing, just to see what's happening. Now, you know, we continue to our efforts to reach out to candidates so that they can get on these airwaves. And we're actually in the process of scheduling something with Mark Schauer's people. So we look forward to having him on the program. I'm looking forward to talking to him. I had the opportunity to talk with him, it was about a month ago, a little bit less than that, when we did that double switch. I was on mornings and we had Jim on the afternoon. And it was a pleasant conversation. I mean, he seems like a decent guy. But really, I mean, is his message going to resonate? He would claim it does. There would be people on the Republican side that would claim, no, it doesn't. And then there would be independents in the middle going, I don't know, what's on TV? You know, what's coming out on Netflix next month? I don't know. You know, so this is what we deal with now. You know, right now we've got independents that some of them are with Snyder, some of them are with Schauer, and some of them are going, I don't know, I'm thinking about Labor Day right now. You know what? School's coming up. The kids have got to get ready. All right, you know what? We're going to get the kids ready and worry about that one later.
They'll decide down the road.
You know, it's November. We have some time to discuss this and discover, all right, who in the world are we going to vote for? And that's what it's all about. That's why we have the conversation here and why we continue to talk about it with you. Now, we'll definitely continue the discussion with you. One of the things that we are going to do a little bit later is we're going to be talking about this Alice report. And this is from the United Way. I look forward to bringing this to you because I kind of want to figure out, all right, where's this report coming from? What's it all about? And we will hear from someone who knows exactly what that is, the president of the United Michigan Association of United Ways. We're scheduled to speak with him coming up right around 3:45, so make sure you keep it right here. -79 degrees and sunny skies. We'll be looking at the weather here in just a minute or two with Bob Larson from AccuWeather. And that look at the weather is brought to you by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K through 12 school, where faith turns friends into family. And I'm glad you stopped by. It's the Jeremy Lawrence Show. One reminder to you, just in case you were wondering and wanted to know, all right, what's going on with the Tigers tonight, 6:40. It gets underway, game two of the three-game series with the Yankees. Michael, did they manage to get that game in last night? I know there was some rain delays and whatnot. But
yeah, they did. They managed to get it in. The Tigers ended up winning that game, too, 5-2.
All right, great. You know, I kept up with it for a little while and was like, oh, rain delay, lovely.
Yeah. Okay. you turn it off and then it's like, oh, wait, I think they're playing again.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, you get busy. But 6:40 tonight, they are underway. It is at Comerica Park, and I don't believe, based on the weather we had earlier today, that they've got any rain over there.
I doubt it.
So I think it should be good. There probably will not be a rain delay. Probably not. I won't say definitely not, because you never know. I mean, it's the weather. But anyway, that's coming up. Of course, tomorrow, a momentous day in both Yankee and Tiger history. It's Derek Jeter's final game at Comerica Park. In a player's uniform in Major League Baseball. That'll get underway at 12:40, at least the broadcast will. We'll have that for you as well. And just lots and lots and lots of sports coming up. Tomorrow night, this will be the final preseason game for the Detroit Lions, and it takes place right here on 590 WKZO, doing battle with the Buffalo Bills, who haven't quite figured out who their quarterback is at this point. So it's lots of fun, you know?
The Bills usually take a long time to figure out who their quarterback is anyway.
They do. And to hear Jim Kelly say it the other day that he says, I'm really not enamored with any of these guys. So that's helpful. Thanks, Jim. Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe the Lions have got a shot here, you know. But
maybe.
You know, I tell you what, I'm pulling for the Lions because I'm in the middle of my fantasy football draft, and I'm in an unusual draft. It goes on for days.
That is unusual.
It's very unusual, but it's fun. You know, you get more time to kind of think about picks and things like that. But I managed to get Reggie Bush.
Great.
So what I am pulling for the Lions now. You know, at least I want him to do well.
Yeah, get a couple of, you know, touchdowns, 100 yards rushing, maybe 50 yards receiving a game.
You know, that wouldn't be bad. I think that'll be good for me. So the other part of it is I'm also pulling for Cleveland's running back to do well. So this is what makes fantasy football interesting. So, but you know what? All your final questions about the Lions, in fact, who they go into the season with, they just might be answered by that time. So who knows? You'll want to listen. That's coming up, tomorrow night. Wow. Incredible. And then, of course, we've got even more coming your way on Friday. So, you know, some good stuff. Stick around for that. All right. Now, time to check in on the weather, see what it's looking like today. Bob Larson, I'm looking out my window. It looks pretty gorgeous to me.
Gorgeous, yeah. That could be the word today, gorgeous.
I'm sure you've picked a different one, but, you know, I try.
But I'm on the right path, and the word I've chosen, it's the same thing. It's synonymous. The word is splendid.
Splendid.
Not Splenda, the sweetener.
No. That's, some people don't like that. So, you know, but splendid. I think we can all agree that's rather delightful, I guess, if
absolutely
we're using synonyms. You know,
it all works.
All right. So, well, we're looking at some really nice weather tonight. What are we looking at? Or right now anyway. What are we looking at tonight and then into tomorrow?
Yeah, tonight will be fine. It's interesting comparison-wise, looking at today versus yesterday at this time. Yesterday at this time, we did have storms in the area that kind of kept temperatures down at this point. Mid-afternoon temperature was hovering around or just above 70. Now it's around or just above 80. But it's much less humid today than it was yesterday. Yesterday's dew point was 67. Today it's 57. Mm-hmm. So we can feel that difference. And with the drier air, that means more comfortable tonight. Partly cloudy, mid-50s overnight, and a nice day coming up tomorrow. Clouds might begin to show up a little more in the afternoon, but should still be comfortable, not humid, not rainy, mid and upper 70s, probably upper 70s when it's all said and done. Then the humidity returns tomorrow night and Friday. With that comes the possibility, if not likelihood, of showers and thunderstorms. Not so much tomorrow night. Could be a late-night shower storm, but Friday's the day I suspect we are going to have to dodge some raindrops. At the same time, it'll be warmer. It's not going to be raining all day long. It'll be hazy sunshine at times, enough to take us into the 80s. But again, that shower thunderstorm threat will also be with us on Friday.
Now, I know we've been short on where we need to be rain-wise and that kind of thing. We did make up some of that. But do you think Friday will help us get even closer, or is it just going to be spotty stuff?
We've got a long way to go.
Okay.
Friday could end up being similar to yesterday, even if it ends up being the exact amount of rain. It will help. But we'll still be well short. We need several days similar to what we had yesterday to catch up. Not that we would want that over a holiday weekend, no.
Certainly not.
Not that we would want that all at once, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, no. But with time, it's gonna take a while to get out of this hole that we've dug ourselves into, because we're quite a bit behind when it comes to rainfall. But certainly yesterday did help, and it's a step in the right direction.
Okay, so looking ahead to Labor Day Monday, I know it's a little early, but what are we looking at right now? Are we looking at anything significant?
I can talk about the whole weekend, a three-day weekend. And if I had to pick one word for the 3 days, I guess that word would be muggy. Because it is going to be a humid holiday weekend. Not especially hot. I don't see it being 90 to 95, but I do believe we'll have daytime highs in the 80s and nighttime lows barely below 70, mid and upper 60s, and with high humidity. And with the high humidity, you know what that means, an almost daily chance of a shower or storm. I think probably will be some activity on Saturday, maybe not so much on Sunday. The odds ramp up again Labor Day afternoon as a front tries to come down for the north. So we very well could be looking at some showers on Labor Day, if not storms, in the afternoon.
Okay. All right.
We'll focus on that again later in the week. I guess we've got Tigers baseball tomorrow, right?
We do indeed. It's Derek Jeter's final game at Comerica Park.
Right.
So we're gearing up for that. That means probably you and I won't be speaking to one another, but you know what? Friday's coming, and I understand numbers are coming as well.
We'll have numbers, and we'll see just how far behind rainfall-wise we are.
See, I'm curious. It's been a while since we talked about it, so I'm wanting to know where we are on this. So
a couple weeks now.
I will wait with bated breath.
All right.
All right, Bob Larson there with AccuWeather joining us to tell us what in the world's going on with the weather and that kind of thing. So it doesn't look too bad, I guess. No complaints here, anyway. Well, as we continue ahead, we're going to be talking about this Alice report. It's coming out in full here in a couple of days. But what is the report? What's it about? What does it mean? What is the road ahead? What's it look like? Well, we're going to be talking with the president of the Michigan Association of United Ways here in just a little bit. Keep it here. WKZO, it is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. Glad you're spending the afternoon with us. Well, Alice, what in the world does that stand for? No, it's not the housekeeper on the Brady Bunch. We're not referring to that. No, it means something totally different. And to tell us what it means and what it's all about, we've got Scott Dzurka. He is the president and CEO of the Michigan Association of United Ways. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
Okay, this report will be out in full here in another couple of days, but Alice, what's it all about?
Well, you hit it. It's not the housekeeper on the Brady Bunch. Alice is actually an acronym. Alice stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. What we've done at United Way is we've really taken an in-depth, research-based focus to look at that population in each of our communities that's struggling to pay their bills, that are good taxpayers in the state of Michigan, yet just aren't making enough to meet the basic needs of everyday life. And so while it's an acronym, we also hope it starts to place a face on that person in each community so we can better understand who Alice is in our communities and what jobs that they're filling.
Now, how much of the public would fit into that category?
Well, initial study that we found is there's about 24% of people who are Alice. And they're a little unique. You've probably heard of the federal poverty level in the past. Mm-hmm. This is a group that's actually above the federal poverty line.
Okay.
The study coming out actually shows that 4 in 10 households are struggling to make ends meet. So a combination of the 16% of the federal poverty level along with the 24% that we're now identifying as Alice.
Okay. All right. So what's that work out to as far as population numbers go?
You got it. So that would be just about 40%. So we're looking anywhere in the neighborhood of about 3.5 million people across the
wow.
state.
Wow. Okay. And that's a number that an awful lot of people don't hear about. And it seems like it's a concern because, you know, for some people, they're doing pretty well. But chances are there are people in the sound of my voice that fit into that category.
They certainly are. And what we're finding is we experience them every day in our travels, in our work, or in our community. You know, Alice is the person a lot of times that greets you at the front desk of an office. Alice is the person that may have served you a cup of coffee. Alice is the person that may be helping your grandmother in the nursing home. We experience Alice every day, and we probably don't think that those individuals are struggling as much as this study is revealing.
Now, you know, with this sort of a study, what's the reasoning behind deciding to do something like this?
Well, United Way really wanted to get to that research-based approach and look at it community by community because, as you know, the cost of living in each community varies, and that's exactly what this study starts to show. When you look at Kalamazoo or Calhoun County versus Lansing, Southeast Michigan, there's a different threshold that's placed in each community. We wanted to have some consistent data so that we could start conversations not only amongst United Ways, but have United Ways talk within their communities to all of their significant community players to start talking about what we could do to help Alice get a little more stable.
Now, when we talk a little bit about people at that level, that the Alice level that you talk about, in terms of income, just on an annual basis, what does that look like?
Certainly. So when we start looking at it from both a single person and a family of four, because, mm-hmm. of course, those individuals have a different set of income thresholds that they may experience on a daily
sense.
Basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really starting to look at that community by community. And when it boils down to it, we look at a total annual income, and it depends which community you're in. Mm-hmm. It can range anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 for a single adult, and it can range anywhere from $50,000 to $60,000 for a family with two kids.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, obviously there's some issues here and there's some things that need to be solved, but are you necessarily saying what the way forward is on this, or are you just pointing at the problem at this point?
This is really the start of the conversation.
Okay.
United Way is in a great position to shed a light on who Alice is. As we've said, this is probably an unknown person in our community, and we want to help explain his or her or their family's story first and foremost. The data is the first step of starting to look at it. Our hope is, through our United Way network, 60 United Ways across this state, that they can start engaging communities to find solutions. There's not a single silver bullet that anyone's going to find to solve this. But there's great opportunities out there. There's opportunities to talk with business about what we can do. There's opportunities with nonprofits. There's opportunities with government. And there's opportunities with Alice as well to look at what resources or tools we can provide to hopefully lessen that burden on a day-to-day basis.
We're talking with Scott Dzurka. He's the president and CEO of the Michigan Association of United Ways. Scott, this report, it's really not coming out in full for another couple of days, but once this gets out, what's your hope that, with politicians and business leaders, what would you like to see?
I think it's the start of the dialogue.
Okay.
First and foremost, we have to get some common language. You know, as I pointed out at the onset, there's a lot of misunderstanding of terms we use. If someone uses a term low income, what does that really mean? If someone uses a term federal poverty level, what does that really constitute in a community? Some of those data sources are somewhat outdated, so we wanted to have a consistent database that we could start the dialogue with so that we understood what went into each of the costs. This study is really a combination of several studies. We've worked with Rutgers University out of New Jersey, as well as a research team here in Michigan made up of various think tanks and universities, so that we had agreement on what we felt was consistent data to start the conversation with.
Okay. Now, from your perspective, I mean, you're the president of the United Ways of Michigan, basically. What is it that the United Way is really doing practically to be able to help out some of these households?
Well, you know, right off the top, when you look at United Way and their collective impact strategies and financial stability, United Way is working within its nonprofit community already to work with Alice. There's a lot of tools and programs that we've already established. It could be a simple credit or debt repair program. It could be a program to make short-term loans. There's a lot of very short and medium range programs that United Way can undertake through its existing funding. At the same time, we really need to have the conversation of what we're going to do long term. Alice has existed in our communities for years. We're just beginning to shine the light on it and say, what could we potentially do differently to shrink that shortfall that Alice experiences on an annual basis?
Okay. And you know, when you talk about some of these programs, I mean, practically that's things like child care and things like that?
Certainly. You know, the thing that we're beginning to understand within the study is some of the challenges on a consistent basis across the state that communities are having, not only with affordable housing and the quantity of affordable housing, mm-hmm. but also with the amount and the cost of quality child care. For a family of four, that can gobble up a significant portion of their earned income through employment. And so,
sure.
you know, it puts a family in a difficult sense of how many hours they can really work and how much quality child care they can afford to have their kids in.
Okay. We've been speaking with Scott Dzurka. He's the president and CEO of the Michigan Association of United Ways. Scott, obviously the report's not out at this point yet, but when it does come out, where can people go and get some more information if they're interested?
You got it. You can talk to your local United Way, United Way of Battle Creek, Kalamazoo. We'll be receiving the study at the same time all of us are. As well, you can go to our website at uwmich.org for more information.
Okay. Scott, appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. That was Scott Dzurka. He is the president and CEO of the Michigan Association of United Ways. And, you know, that is an issue. It is a problem out there. And if you think about it, these are people that you and I know, interact with on a daily basis that fit into that. And really, you know, how can we across the state be able to reach out and help, whether it's from a political standpoint or whether it's just from a personal standpoint? How do you reach out a helping hand? Some good things to think about, some good things to talk about as this report comes along. Well, you know what? Next hour, we're going to have a little fun. I'm looking forward to this discussion. There's a listing out there of superheroes. Most popular superheroes. We're going to talk about them. Talk about, find out what's your favorite as we continue ahead on the show. Keep it right here. I gotta go.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.